Thank you, Elder Daniel and the worship team. So glad to be with you all today. A tradition we have at Mosaic House is to hide God's word in our hearts through the memory verse. So we have a memory verse every week, and this one's a little bit of a hard one. If you could put it, thank you, Kim, for doing it. So the reason I know is there's a Christian heavy metal band named Thrice, and they wrote a song about this, so I remembered it because I know the song. So it's up to you if you don't like that metal, but they're a very good band, very devoted to Jesus. So, and I want to say, we memorize scripture not just because it's a tradition and we do, but it's to meet Jesus. Not just even learn about Jesus, but to meet him, because he's here right now. Because he said if there's two or three gathered together, he is there. So as we go through this, don't say, oh, I remembered it, yay, but what does it mean? And what does it mean that the Jesus they're talking about is here right now? So let's see, what's the first one? We'll go slow, Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Nice. Okay, just think about that. Has anybody ever seen God before? No. But Jesus is the full representation of who God. When you think about God, if you visualize God, it should be Jesus. For in him all things were, see, created. Okay, hold on, what? In Jesus, everything was created. The stars, the moon, my hands, my eyes. I can talk to you, speech. Wow. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rules or authorities, all things being created through him and for him. Let's say it all together now, as if you try to keep it, understand it as we go through the week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. The Son is the image of the invisible God. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Thank you all. The new verse for this week is coming from Matthew chapter 5, 16 to 17. We're going to look at Mark 7 today, but this kind of talks about, we'll talk about it in the sermon, but let's just say it together. One voice. Matthew 5, 16 to 17. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Another long one, but you can do it. I believe in you. Okay, children, you are dismissed. Have fun in Kids House and Baby House. This morning, we asked about family traditions. Now, when you hear that word, tradition, what comes to mind? Is it a good word? Is it a bad word? Or is it kind of, no big deal? Who here thinks when they hear tradition, it's a good thing, it's a great thing? Okay. One person. Okay, two. Three. Okay, a few. Yeah, okay. How about when you hear tradition? Oh, tradition, that's a bad thing. Anybody? Okay, there's a few. How about you? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's kind of neutral. It is what it is. Okay, we've got everybody here today. Wow, okay. Well, this message is for you. We'll see what it's for. To God be the glory on that one. But you can, if you're following along online or you have the QR code in front of you, there's these notes. You can write this in your notes. Traditions are rituals. Things we do repeatedly, usually with other people. Traditions are a human experience, and they shape they can shape our desires. To be human is to have some kind of tradition. If you wake up in the morning and do things the same as the day before, you have a tradition. Who wakes up in the morning and brushes their teeth? Sorry. Who brushes their teeth? Okay. How many people do that? Okay, we have a cultural tradition. Whoa. Is a tooth doctor here? He tells you not to brush your teeth because, you know, anyway. But that is anything that we repeat over and over is a tradition. For instance, coming to church on Sundays, that is a tradition that we do together. It's something that we agreed upon that we're doing, and it's not good or bad. We'll talk about that a little later. But almost everything we do that's repeated is some kind of tradition. Now, when I was younger, one of our favorite traditions, maybe it's a little stretch. We grew up in an acreage, so we didn't have a grocery store, so we had to come to Edmonton for groceries. And every time we come, we usually go to the mall, West Edmonton Mall. Now, there's a guy named Jamie K.A. Smith. He argues that since everything is a ritual, or not everything, many things are rituals that we do with others, those things are also spiritual. Now, this Sunday morning, where do you think there are more people? Are there more people in churches or more people in malls at this very moment? Ooh, that's hard to say, actually. I don't know. I don't really know. But it's close. It's close. Okay. It's pretty close. Now, when you go into a mall and you go to maybe a store, usually there's somebody that comes to see you, right? They're called church greeters, right? Oh, no. They're called sales attendants, right? Oh, yeah. They're called sales attendants. Okay. And then you enter into the main area. Their sanctuary. No, their sales area, right? And what's funny is most malls, especially stores, they don't have windows, do they? Actually, churches, most don't have windows because we're meant to come into a spiritual place that's outside of time, where we meet the divine. And malls are actually designed like cathedrals. When you enter a mall, you're no longer on earth, you're in West Edmonton Mall. You're in this otherworldly place. And then, in church, we like to hear the good news, right? The good news of Jesus. In the shopping mall, in the store, you look around for... Yes, wow. I don't even have to say it. Wow. And then, what do you say to sales? You know what you do? Yes, woo! Praise the Lord! We worship, don't we? And then when we get a really good sale, what do? We tell the good news about the sale to our friends. And you know what good news means in Scripture? The gospel. The gospel of the store. I got the gospel. I have the gospel here. Come to this store. The gospel is here. And we sell it to our friends. And we tell, we evangelize. And then we go to the till. And what's interesting, this is where the ritual part comes in. Every time we go to a till, what do? We take out our paying device now. I don't know. I still have a wallet, okay? I have my wallet. You open it up, take out your card, and then you tap. And then it goes through the spiritual power. Whoa, feel something. Oh, yeah, went through. Yes, praise the Lord. Thank the, yes. And then you get this thing and you feel, yes, I have meaning, purpose. I feel good now. And then you leave. Or then you talk to the till guy, person, I guess, and they say thank you. And then you get your receipt and then you leave. How many times do you do that ritual a day? Too many. What J.A. Smith says that going to the mall is an example of taking part in what he calls a secular liturgy that has its own gospel and alternate story of who we are and what we ought to be, and what he calls the gospel of consumerism. Now, I'm not saying that these are bad things. However, when we do them over and over again, they become a ritual. And these rituals, J. Smith argues, shape our desires. What we love, what we want in life. They are telling us who we should love, what we should focus our time and energy on. Now, we're going through the Gospel of Mark today, and we're talking about Jesus' perspective on traditions. Now, we believe the gospel of Jesus is the only gospel, okay? Jesus is the one we should love above all else, the only one that can give us what we truly desire. Jesus is way better than a sale. He is our Savior. And He is the only one who can truly change us, to give us what we want. And He's the only one who deserves our love and worship. And Mark 7, he describes the roles and also the dangers of tradition. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1 all the way to 23. Now, this is a very interesting turning point in Mark, where Jesus is turning away just from the Jewish people to the Gentiles. And Pastor Victor is going to talk more about that next week. But let's enter the first part. Hear the word of the Lord. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they wash, and they observed many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied against you hypocrites. As is written, 'Those people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of men and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is dedicated, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here right now We don't need to put on a big show. We don't need to do all these little traditions or things. But you come just when two or three are here and you meet us here. And yet, we do these things because we want to know you more. We sing because we really love you. We pray because we want to talk to you. We stand up, sit down as an act of reverence to you. Everything we want to do because of you, Jesus. So help us, Lord, not to get distracted by things we make up to make things go smoothly or look nice, but help us to focus on you today, knowing that you meet us, even in our broken selves, even in our broken traditions, and you have made us clean, and you have saved us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is what I believe God wants us to know today. Jesus, you could write this in your notes, meets us in tradition, for he fulfills tradition. Traditions, things we do in patterns, do actually shape our hearts, shape our desires, but Jesus is the only one that could truly change us from the inside out. And he's the only one that deserves our love and worship. He is the perfect fulfillment of present and past traditions that try to keep our relationship to God. Colossians 1 said, he is the image of the invisible God, the perfect representation. Traditions are meant to bring us to know, to seek God. But when we have Jesus, we have the real thing. Only Jesus can connect us with God through the Holy Spirit. And yet, because we are human, we have traditions. And Jesus meets us there. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is our memory verse for this time. So if you can say it with me. Matthew 5, 16 to 17. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus does not want us to get rid of tradition. Traditions and the law actually help us to do good deeds. Help us to live a way which other people think, wow, they're different. However, he fulfills them so that we can use them properly. So that we can use them as a way to counteract the rituals and the gospel we have in our own culture. Now, let's take an example of family traditions. Now, I there's a lot of conversations, but I guess there was nice family traditions. But do you need traditions to love your family? No, you don't. But if you said you loved your family but never saw them, can you say that you really loved your family? Never been in a relationship with them? Not really. You say, oh, I love them, but what? When's the last time you talked to them? 10 years ago? Okay. When the last time I did that tradition I talked about was about 15 years ago. And we don't need traditions, but they help us bring us together so that we can actually love each other. We don't need to have a tradition to meet, but it's really hard to be like, oh, you guys want to get together? Oh, I'm Filipinos, they work 5 jobs, okay? And the only reason some people come together are 2 important traditions in our culture. You know what they are? Weddings and funerals, exactly. Last time I saw my family was at my dad's funeral 3 years ago. That's the last time we were together. We don't need traditions, but aren't they helpful? Yeah. I'm so happy that they came. You still love me. And I want to love you, but it's hard to connect with them. Now, when we understand tradition as being fulfilled in Jesus, we can use it as a good way to connect with God in Jesus. But because the culture of Jesus' day was so hung up on traditions, he was very hard on them. He wanted them to know our theme and goal, that Jesus meets us in tradition, for he fulfills tradition. And we're looking at just 2 points today. Jesus fulfills tradition by making us clean, and Jesus still meets us in traditions, but only he can transform our hearts. So let's look at the first point. Jesus fulfills tradition by making us clean. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave his law, his prescriptions on how to live well, what's best for them, and how to keep their relationship with God, and how to live well with each other and everything else he created. And now there's a lot of history I'm going to pass over here, but when one Israelite during Jesus' day was to go to the temple to worship God, they had to keep these cleanliness laws as a way to symbolize how holy God is compared to us. And they had to do, you couldn't touch certain things, you couldn't eat certain things, you had to be very careful, or else you couldn't go into the temple to worship God. Now, the religious leaders, they were like, okay, that's a good law, Lord, but you know what? Let's make it a bit better. Let's not just say we should be clean going to the temple, we should be clean every day. Now, when I say clean, I don't mean hygiene. Well, I guess that is part of it. They didn't know much about germs back in the day, but it's the idea of ceremonially clean or spiritually clean. And so what they did, they created these extra laws and traditions based on the original rule to be clean before you go into the temple. And they called these kind of rules a fence or halakha that were designed to help people stay in relationship to God. And during that day, they would actually take an eggshell. And, you know, they didn't know much about germs, so I don't know how old the eggshell was, okay? Don't think of this. This is not washing your hands before you eat. Okay? And they didn't know anything about it. So they take this eggshell that's maybe 100 years old. They fill it with water. I don't know how. And they would pour it on their hands and then pour it on their shoulder. That's what Jesus was, or the Pharisees were talking about. Why are you not following this? And we see this in, let's go back to our story in Mark chapter 5, verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? Now Jesus is God, so he knew the heart of the people here. The people weren't saying, oh, why don't you kind of using tradition as a good tool to get to God. No, they were saying, why aren't you following what we say? Because we have the true way to follow God. Tradition was not bad in itself, but the leaders started to see their own traditions just as important as God's original law that he wrote down. Now, you can write this in your notes. Traditions either help us trust that we can clean ourselves, or they can help us trust in God to clean us. The purpose of traditions is to remind us of what God has laid down in his word, to remind us of that it's God who laid it down, it's God who cleans and redeems us. But when tradition makes our own good works, our own spiritual acts, as the main way we relate to God, that is when we get in trouble. We will stop trusting in how good God is, but how good we are in fulfilling that tradition, even when we are doing it in the name of God. Now, one important tradition we have at Mosaic House Church is memorizing Scripture. And I really love that tradition we have. When I was a child, we had a kind of not the best home situation. My mom would take us to about 10 vacation Bible schools every summer. Now, do you guys know vacation Bible school? It's a tradition in Canada where churches, on way to outreach to their community, would have like a week-long, pretty much daycare, where they'd teach you about the Bible. And my mom would actually work night shifts, drop us off at this vacation Bible school, and sleep in her car. And there, I was encouraged to be the best Bible memorizer. And we actually got prizes. So I would strive. I think one year I memorized 100 verses in a summer. And I was working so hard to, one, get these verses right. And also, there was always this girl, Amy Gablehouse. She always beat me, like my nemesis. Like, Amy, you're awesome. Wherever you are, yeah, you're doing okay. I haven't seen her in a long time. But I always remember she would always be like, oh, I'm going to get you. Now, this is a good tradition. God calls to hide his word in our hearts. However, when I look back, my heart wasn't in the right place. I was feeling really unsad about myself. Like, am I good? Am I loved? And the reason I was memorizing scripture so that, because I didn't believe God loved me. I did it. So if I memorize enough scripture, then he will love me. Then he will accept me. And then I started being proud. Oh, wow. You only memorize 4 scriptures? Psh, I memorize 100. Like, look, I must be good. I must be spiritual. Like, wow. I was tempted to look down on others who weren't as Bible savvy as me. Now, let's look back to our scripture. In 9 verse 12, Jesus gives another interesting example. What's interesting is in the Old Testament, it's very important. And many traditional cultures, like, traditional culture is not a bad thing, okay? Traditional cultures, the old school cultures, it's very important to take care of your parents. There's no retirement plan back then, okay? A lot of times they would stay with you. They raised you their whole lives. They took care of you. Now it's your turn to take care of them, okay? That's in my tradition too. Now, it was in the biblical law that you should honor your father and mother. And those who don't, it's very severe. They have the right to take you out because you are harming the community of God. So this is very important. Take care of your parents. However, let's say you don't really like your parents. Or like, oh, I've been saving up for that new camel. You're ready to go. It's a 450 camel. Like, you just want something really nice. And then your parents come, oh, honey, we're going through a hard time right now. Can we have some money? Like, can you support us? By law, God's law, you should help them. However, they added a spiritual loophole. I don't know if they added it, but it became a spiritual loophole that, let's say, you know, you're supposed to take care of your parents, but if you devote all your money and wealth to God, you can say to your parents, look, I'd love to help you. Thank you for helping me so much, but I did Corban and all the money I have is now devoted to God, so I can't legally give it to you. I'm so sorry. God be with you. And then you go buy that camel because God told you to. What they were doing, Jesus calls them hypocrites. They look good on the outside. They seem to be following God's law to the T, but they were actually using these spiritual loopholes to get out of following what God really wanted them to do. Now, another great tradition we have at Mosaic House Church is reading our Bible daily. Is that a good tradition? Yeah. And we have something called Soul Food. We send out to you 6 days a week to help you. And when I was younger, religiously read my Bible 3 times a day for about half an hour each. And I would say it was an addiction, to be honest. I'm not even joking. If I didn't read my Bible, I would get physically sick. And one time, a friend who I knew was kind of struggling, and they said, you know, can you help me over? Help me after school to help me with something, you know? He wasn't a Christian. I knew he probably wanted to talk, but, you know, I didn't really like this guy. And I said, you know what? Oh, I would love to help you, but, you know, it's 4:15. This is time I read my Bible. I'm sorry. We'll try again next time. You know what I did? I used a spiritual loophole, which looked good, maybe to the outsiders. And he's like, oh, I respect you. You're a good Christian. Go ahead. But it actually, I was doing the opposite of what God wanted me to do. Jesus calls these people hypocrites. And he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29. Let's read that together. I'll read it with you. And this is a very intense chapter. It's all about kind of condemning Israel and Jerusalem for not following God's way, even though it maybe looked like they did. And he says here, chapter 29, verse 13 to 14, it says here, these people come near me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. Now, what Jesus is doing probably as a good rabbi is called the Remez method, where he would say a part of a verse, and especially the religious leaders would know exactly what he's talking about because they memorized the whole Bible, and they would know what comes after. So, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones. Oh, maybe this is... Yes, but words will never hurt me. And maybe that's a Canadian tradition again. Sorry if you don't know that one. Or like, no other good ones are coming to mind. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When Jesus said this, they would hear the next one. If you could put it back up. Sorry, Nathan. The next verse says this. Therefore, because of this, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish, and the intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. I believe Jesus was saying, this is what I'm going to do. As the image of the invisible God, I am going to challenge the wisdom of these people. I'm going to give true wisdom. This book of Mark, as we've been focusing on, is all about the question is, who is Jesus? The greatest miracle is not the feeding of 5,000 or the healing, is that God himself dwelt among us, and Jesus is God. And as God, he has the intelligence, the wisdom, the wonder from God. And Jesus is saying, he starts to say strange things. It starts to disrupt the whole religious order of the time. Let me give you one example. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. He says this. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. The whole religious order was based on these outward rituals and always focused on the external spiritual life of someone, how they looked, how they performed, and so do our traditions today. And this list of all these kind of not so nice things are actually connected to the Ten Commandments of the Bible. Jesus is kind of putting, what's the heart behind the Ten Commandments? Do not steal, do not kill, do not have false witness. And then Jesus keeps saying these weird, strange things. Now, in our memory verse is on Matthew chapter 5. And if you read just a few more verses down, Matthew chapter 5, it says here in verse 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, can you imagine the Jewish people hearing that? What? These religious leaders, they like wash five times a day. They memorize the whole Old Testament. They're always striving to be righteous, to be clean. How can we compete with that? Jesus is disrupting the wisdom of the time with this new wonder, this new understanding. And then let's go back to chapter 7. And that's why he's coming here. And the disciples are confused. In verse 18, Jesus says, "Are you so dull? Don't you understand? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, then out of their bodies." Jesus did not come to help us fulfill the law and traditions better. He came as the fulfillment of all traditions. Traditions help us to stay outwardly clean, to change our behavior, but Jesus came to fix, to heal a deeper defilement, what the Bible calls sin, which prevents us from using tradition in the right way. One, it prevents us from actually following the tradition, and two, it prevents us from using tradition as a way to trust in God, but rather ourselves. What Jesus is saying, washing and eating, and thankfully, as I said earlier, this is the beginning of Jesus' turn from the Jews to the Gentiles. And one of the barriers to the gospel to the Gentiles is they have a lot of different food than the Jewish people. He is opening the door slowly to us. And Filipinos love pork, and I love shrimp. But anyway, what Jesus is saying, we are shifting the whole wisdom of the day. Washing and eating is not as important as the unclean sin deep in our hearts. Now, there's a wonderful verse in Romans chapter 10, which sometimes has been misunderstood. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there or you can read with me. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says this. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And then it says, Christ is the accumulation, the fulfillment of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Followers of Jesus are able to have righteousness greater than the most holy people in the world because our righteousness is not our own. It is the righteousness of Jesus given to us by his grace. The Bible calls Jesus the high priest of the temple of God. And the high priest had to use all these clean, very special things in order to meet the presence of God. But Jesus was one and is one with God. He's completely pure and blameless. And as a way to allow us to enter into the Holy of Holies, to experience the presence of God, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the perfect, unblemished sacrifice, so we could be forgiven of all the sin and be cleaned from the inside out. Jesus fulfills tradition by making us clean. Tradition tried to keep people clean, but the purpose of tradition was to point to Jesus, who's the only one that can clean us. And instead of trusting ourselves for healing and forgiveness, Jesus offers us his righteousness and the freedom to trust completely in him. Jesus meets us in tradition, for he fulfills tradition. Now the second point is, and Pastor Peter is going to probably focus on this next week more, so I won't go too into it, but Jesus still meets us in traditions, but only he can transform our hearts. Tradition is part of our human experience, and they do help shape us. However, in Christ, there's only true transformation, and in Christ, we can approach or be part of traditions in a new way. Let me give you just one example, or two quick examples. 1 Thessalonians 2:15, says this. It says here in 2:15, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions." Now, in my Bible, NIV says teachings, but this is the same word that Jesus uses in Mark 7. Hold on to traditions. We passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And actually, studies show that rituals, traditions, do help. They do help bring us together. They help shape our desires. And if we just, at Mosaic Culture, just came together and just gave you a TED Talk, just said, "You'll come together, we're going to tell you what to believe, how to believe it, and then you go home," it would touch your mind, your intellect. Maybe it would touch your heart. But in a church service, in our tradition, everything else we do, apart from me just talking for you for half an hour, well, it's probably 40 minutes today, sorry. Everything other than that, singing, the call to worship, responsive reading, prayer, even offering, all those are traditions we do together to help shape our hearts, to love Jesus more, to help us on the way. And this is where the place that Jesus still can meet us. Now, I'm not going to go into this one too much, but in Mark chapter 7, verse 3, he talks about the ceremonial washing. And what's interesting is, you can put the slide up, Nathan. What's interesting is, twice in this, there's three times it has the word washing. Twice, they use this Greek word, baptismos. And what does that remind you of? Baptism. Now, is that a good tradition? It is probably the only tradition that Christians, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Christians disagree on a lot of things, but at least we hold that communion and baptism are very important. Now, there's only three times that this word is used to not refer to actual baptism, people going in the water. I think Mark here is saying, yes, Jesus is really hard on these things, but there are traditions like baptism. Now, like baptism, these washings, they can be good, but they must not replace the person of Christ and his law for us. The main purpose of the law and all tradition is for us to hold on to or know the two greatest commandments. What are the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second one? Yes. If you put the slide up. This is the purpose of all traditions and laws. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Traditions may help us shape our desires, help us inch closer to this, but they cannot transform our hearts to love God and others sincerely and completely. And Jesus did not come just to clean our hearts. He gave us his heart. This is one of my favorite passages as I was reading this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 27, it says this. Before the coming of faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. The law was like a fence protecting us, helping us not to go too far away from loving God and others. But when Jesus came, the time of this faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all now children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ, same word as the one in Mark 7, have clothed yourselves with Christ. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, the Bible says he sent his Holy Spirit. And today is Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming down, changing us, his very presence in us, his very heart to surround us. When we cannot love God, love our neighbors, he is there in us, showing us how to love. Now we walk by the Spirit of Christ first, not by the traditions that we have. However, God and Jesus often meets us in our tradition, for he is the fulfillment of them. And he can help counteract the traditions and rituals that we face in this world. Jesus meets us in tradition, for he fulfills tradition. Let me just end with this one application question. Do our traditions, the traditions that you have, help us trust in Christ to transform us, or do they make us trust in the law or ourselves to transform us? You know how I mentioned, you know how I always have a Bible one up here? Like, other pastors don't do it as much anymore, but I love the scripture. I love the physical Bible. Remember when I was saying I was reading a scripture 3 times a day? You remember that? One day, God stole my Bible. I'm not even joking. I had just left a Bible study, went to a restaurant, and I was like clinging on, I remember, and all of a sudden, it was gone. I called the restaurant, I called all that. It just disappeared. I had all my notes. I was devastated. And then I heard, I sensed God in prayer telling me, Jeremiah, were you trusting in me to save you, to change you, to love you? Or was it trusting in yourself and how well you were doing tradition to find transformation and love? This is something we always must know. Jesus is the fulfillment. All tradition points to Jesus. He is the one we should follow and serve. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now, actually, and we're going to sing a song, Heart of Worship. And actually, what's interesting is this song was created as they were discerning this. At the time, there was a big church, had a big band, but the pastor was saying, he felt something was wrong, something was missing. And what he said was, I don't want to produce consumers in church. People just come in, get something, and then leave. He felt that is what this kind of big band worship experience was doing. So what he did was, we are getting rid of all the worship team for a year. And going to say, we're going to focus on Jesus. That tradition wasn't bad, but it was forming us in not good ways. And maybe it wasn't helping to counteract the gospel consumerism. It was bringing it into the church. And the pastor asked, when you come through the doors on a Sunday, what are you bringing as your offering to God? Not just what are you getting when you come in, what are you bringing? And eventually, the song was, the time was really awkward. It was strange. Like, it was, oh, wow. It was like, it's weird. We're just singing a cappella. All they did was sang a cappella. But eventually, people embraced a cappella, and they refound a heart of worship, refound a deep connection to Jesus. The purpose of all traditions. So with that in mind, let us worship the one true God with a heart of worship. Dear Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the true God, that you are worthy to be worshipped, and you are here even now. You meet us in song, in prayer, in each other, and as we worship you, as we do all these things in church, help our heart to follow the rest of us, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Amen.